Okay, so the title of the message is, Here Am I, Send Me. I think that's what I have. I've had the privilege over the years, my formative years in the ministry and my formative years in my adult life. I spent 4 years in Seattle under Brother Charles Taylor, and he was quite a mentor to me, and basically that was a new work. And we were there, we went there to work with the congregation there, and we ultimately tried to start our own congregation there. And we did it for about 4 years, and the Lord told us he was finished. Whatever we did there, he was done with us there. I moved from there to Muskogee, Oklahoma. And bear with me for sharing my story here, but I think it makes a point here. Moved from there to Muskogee, and there was a new work that was starting there. And as I was thinking about what I was, about this message, this is what came to me. And then the Lord helped us there for about 2 years, then we moved to Dallas, and I've had the privilege of pastoring two particular congregations where the founder was still alive. And so the Dallas congregation, for those that may not know, Sister Doris Clay went to Dallas. There was no congregation there in Dallas. She went to Dallas, and she began to just hold Bible studies and do simple things, and ultimately the Lord raised up a congregation. Brother Randall, who has gone there in Sacramento, he's the founder of that congregation. He and his wife started the congregation. And basically what I felt like the Lord gave me was that my responsibility or my part of my gifting is to go someplace, someplace where something is not necessarily thriving and to see what we could do to put life into it. And I don't take the credit for that. I believe that that's just what the Lord called me to do. I don't feel like I'm a missionary. I don't feel like I'm an evangelist. I do believe more than anything I'm a pastor, and I believe that that's one of the gifts that the Lord's given us. But I think it's very important for us when we look at what's going on in the world today. One of the things that I had to learn when I was in these various places was you have to project. What is this congregation going to look like in 10 years? What is it going to look like when I'm gone? What if the Lord has me here for 5 years or a certain period of time? What is it going to look like? And so part of the responsibility that you have is to set it up so that someone else can take over. And the whole point that you're doing it, wherever you are, wherever I am right now, my whole point is, listen, I'm setting this so somebody can take it further than me. I'm getting old. I'm getting up there. And so it's not going to be a long time that I'm going to be the pastor. I don't know how many years I have, 10 years maybe. But I have no desire to be the pastor in Sacramento in 10 years. I want somebody else younger than I coming in working behind me. And whatever the Lord does for that, I want to see that. Because I believe that part of our responsibility as ministers is to train somebody to take our place. All right, and I think that that's the responsibility of all of us, okay? Not just the ministers, but all of us. What we want to do is replicate ourselves as best we can. All right, so I want to turn to the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and I want to start reading at the first verse. A couple of things that I would like to say as a preference to this is that we can say our congregations, and we look at our congregation, and one of the reasons I feel like the Lord had us to talk about this or minister on this today is because it's the day that we look at missionaries. We look at their missionary report in the afternoon service, and we see what the Lord is doing in various other places, and there's a purpose that the Lord is doing work everywhere. But there is work for us to do right here at home. I know a good majority of our congregations are maybe family, and I have no problem whatsoever with a congregation being a lot of family. I think about Noah being on the ark, and I see in the scriptures at least two places in the scriptures where there is an analogy of the end of time. And one is as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be as in the days of Lot. Those, the fire and brimstone coming down on Sodom and Gomorrah, who escaped? Who escaped? Family. On Noah's ark, who escaped? Family. So when somebody says, oh, you're just a family church, I don't have any problem with that. Because I believe ultimately we're in the end times, and ultimately that's what is going to be. But we still have a responsibility to reach out to the world. All right? So let's, if you can give a microphone to my wife, I'd appreciate that. All right, we can start in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse, please.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne,
yes,
high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
His train filled the temple.
Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings.
Each one had six wings.
With twain he covered his
face. With twain he covered his
face. With twain he
covered
his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy,
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 holy
is the Lord of hosts.
Is the Lord of hosts.
The whole earth is full of his glory.
Is full of his glory.
And the posts of the door moved.
The posts of the door moved.
At the voice of him
that cried. At the voice of him that cried.
And the house was filled with smoke.
And the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I.
Then said I.
Woe is me.
Woe is me.
For I am undone.
For I am undone.
Because I am a man.
Because I am a man
of
unclean lips.
And I dwell in the midst of a people.
And I dwell in the midst of a people
of unclean lips.
For my
Mine eyes
have seen the King,
the Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts.
Then flew one
then
of the
flew
seraphims,
one of the seraphims
unto me,
having a live,
coal
in his hand,
which he had taken with the tongues,
tongues from off the altar.
And he laid it upon,
my mouth
and said, Lo,
and he said,
this hath touched thy lips.
This has touched thy lips.
And thine iniquity,
and thine
is, taken
iniquity
away,
is taken away.
And thy sin is,
and thy
purged.
Sin is purged.
And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I
send?
And who
and
will
who go for us?
Then said I,
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
And he said,
Go and tell this people.
Hear ye indeed.
But understand not.
And see ye indeed. But perceive not.
Now I want us to understand what just took place here. A revelation of the Lord is just taking place. And when you see the Lord, it's a memorable thing. This is Isaiah's testimony that I saw the Lord. I knew when I saw him. I know on the day that I saw him. I remember it vividly. I equate this to most of us. I can tell you exactly where I was standing at 9/11. It was a memorable occasion. When I heard about the planes hitting the Trade Center, I know where I was standing. I know everything. It's seared in my mind. It's etched there in my mind. So he saw the Lord, and when he saw the Lord, he saw that he was holy, holy, holy. It's complete holiness. And then when he saw that, he saw something about himself, all right? The first thing that he see, when we see the Lord, we see something about us. We see in comparison to the Lord, we see that we are nothing. We have nothing. We are not holy in the light of the Lord. So he understood that. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and then he saw himself, and then he saw the people that are around him. That's important for us to understand. And he said, woe is me. I am in a bad condition. I need cleansing. I need to be purged and cleansed. And not only do I need to be purged and cleansed, but all the people that are around me need to be purged and cleansed as well. He saw that. He had a clear understanding. And let me tell you, in order for us to go out and reach the people, we have to see what kind of person we are. All right? And if you think that you're holier than thou and all of that, you're not going to see the need in your own soul first. All right? So we have a need in our soul. And then the second thing is we say, listen, all these people, oh, may the Lord have mercy on them, and the Lord give us a burden for the people that are around us. That's what the Lord intends for us to do. And then the Lord says, all right, now here is the setting here. The Lord is speaking. He sees Isaiah sees the Lord, and the Lord sees Isaiah. And then so what he says, the Lord says, all right, now that you see yourself, I'm going to purge you. He purges him, takes the tongue off the altar, coal off the altar, and purges him, and now he's clean, all right? He just got saved. Let's put it that way, all right? If we can use it in that term, Isaiah, he just got saved, and then the Lord says something to him right after he gets saved, if you'll allow me to have that liberty. Right after he gets purged, he says, who shall go for me? Who shall I send? And then Isaiah said in a willingness, Lord, here I am. I'll go for you. Here am I, send me. Now, I think it's very important for us to see some things. If Isaiah said, I see all the people, I see the problems that they have, and I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to help as many people as I can help, that's one thing, but to be sent by the Lord is something altogether different. Because when you're sent by the Lord, there is authority. When he says, here am I, send me. So under whose authority do you go to? There is an authority. So when we go to deal with souls or whatever, who do we go? Whose authority do we do it? Brother Darrell, I think it's an excellent idea that you go out, you hand out tracts, and you give, you talk to people, but it's not that. It is that I have to be sent by the Lord wherever I go. Every place that I've ever gone, every place that I've ever lived, it's not, I like sunny California, so I think I'm going to go to California. That would be a nice place for me to go. No, it's not that. As a matter of fact, I would have gone in the complete opposite direction. Never would have gone there. But what happens when the Lord touches you, taps you on the shoulder, and says, I want you to go there? Well, then what the Lord does is he doesn't send you on your own charge. I'm going to fight, but I'm not going on my own charge. Lord, you're the one that's telling me to go. Maybe I don't want to go. Maybe it's difficult for me to go. Some people think it's easy for us just to uproot and go someplace. It's not easy. Trust me. Especially when it's not in your best interest as far as physical and financial. When it's not in your best interest, it's very difficult to do. And you have to pray about it. You have to seek the Lord about it. You've got to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why do you want me to do this? You go and do it. And sometimes you've got to consecrate. I've had to do it. So there, the first thing that we have to see is he said, here am I. So what does this show? This shows a willingness. I am willing to do it, Lord. If that's what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. All right? Whatever it is. And here's the point that we want to make. It is not that the Lord is going to send everybody over the seas. He's not going to send it. Sometimes all the Lord wants you to do is go across the street and talk to your neighbors. But you got to go. And you got to be sent. I can't just, there's going to be some times that the Lord tells you to go and talk to your neighbors, but you're going to pray about it before you go. And you're going to ask the Lord, open up my understanding. Give me the words to say, because sometimes they're not ready to hear what you have to say. But if the Lord sends you, the Lord has already prepared the way. All right? And this is what I've learned in my own experience. If the Lord sends you somewhere, he's already prepared and he's in the process of preparing the way for you to go and do what he wants you to do, whatever that is. No matter how difficult it is, the Lord is sending you to do it. So let me tell you something. I want to say this to the young people. Listen, you seek the Lord for what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord has a purpose in your life, whatever that is. I want to say it to the old folks as well. Sometimes you can't go, but do you pray and do you support those that can? Here am I, Lord, I'm willing. So there's a willingness. One of the things, not only that, but there has to be an obedience. Once you have an understanding, Lord, I want to have a level of obedience. I want to obey what you have to do. Sometimes obedience is not easy. Remember as children, your mother told you to do a particular thing and you didn't want to do it. And obedience was difficult for you to do. It's a submission of your will to the will of an authority. Someone that's greater than you, someone that has a greater level of authority than you, you're having to submit to that. That's not easy. You submit yourself. So one of the things I say when you look at a person that is going to the armed forces, what do? They put you in boot camp, right? You know what that really is all about? It's not just about you getting physically trained. It's about seeing how obedient you can be. That when they tell you to do something, you do it. They bring you under the authority, and that's very necessary, because if you're on the battlefield, the thing that you need to do on the battlefield is make certain if the general says stop, you stop. You don't know why, but you have to stop. When he says go, you go. You don't know why. It's not your responsibility to know why, is it? Lord, help us. Yes. And it's the same way with the Lord. All right, let's go a little further. So he says, here am I. Now, sometimes we think in our own minds, I need to be qualified. Well, if the Lord sends you, he's going to qualify you. And part of the qualification is whether or not you're obedient. That's a great part of it. And so you're hearing the voice of the Lord. Part of the qualification is, did you hear me? Did you hear me right? There have been times that I felt like the Lord told me to do a particular thing, and it didn't make as much sense in my mind as, and if I said it to somebody else, and somebody, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I was in a situation like that. In my young experience, I asked this individual, my pastor, as a matter of fact, I said, the Lord's telling me to do something, and it would have upended everything that he was doing, because I was a vital part of what he was doing in that particular place when we were in Seattle, as a matter of fact. And I said, I felt like the Lord's telling me to leave. He said, well, I'm not so certain that the Lord's telling you that, because the Lord hadn't spoken to me about it. And he said, I was the other half of the work that was there, basically. And I said, okay, I'm just going to submit myself. I'm not going to go because I feel like in my own mind, I'm going to submit myself to what the pastor says. So I did. And I just got it out of my mind, but the Lord brought it back to my mind. And he kept bringing it back to my mind. So I went to him. I said, listen, I know you said this, and I have utmost confidence and respect for you. I said, but would you at least pray about it and find out if this is really what the Lord is saying to me? And then a little bit later, he comes back. He says, I did pray about it. And you know what? The Lord did. The Lord's telling me to go too. So the Lord was through with us for whatever he wanted to do in that particular place. And he ended up leaving before I did. So, but here's the point that I want to make. The point that I want to make is I submitted myself to the authority that the Lord had put there. All right. And that, I wasn't going against him. I'm not saying I'm going to go. If he's telling me to stay, then he needs to talk to the Lord. So I talked to the Lord. Then I said, I want you to talk to the Lord as well. He talks to the Lord, and the Lord is saying the same thing to both of us. And the Lord had something else altogether different for us. He said, I gave the opportunity. You've planted, you've watered, you've done what I wanted you to do. Whatever increase is going to happen there, it's not going to be with you. It's not always that I've got to see the work that I do to the end. I don't have to do that. The Lord sometimes wants us to just get it started, and then he'll take it on from there. And I believe that that's what we did there. And so when we got there, it was an interesting thing because the Lord said, listen, not only did the Lord tell me while he told me not to go there, that it was time to leave, he said, you know, you're only going to be in Oklahoma for a couple of years, and then you're going to move to Texas. And no one knew this but me. Now, I'm sharing this with you because I think it's very important, and I think maybe the Lord talks to a lot of us, and we just don't quite understand what the Lord is saying and how the Lord is saying. But I think it's very important for us because it's part of the congregations. We've got to look at our congregations, and we've got to say to it, where are we going to be in 10 years? And then we have to project into the future and say, listen, Lord, what would you have us to do today so that in 10 years we can still be viable and we can still be vibrant and we can still be going forward in the name of the Lord? I'm not saying that we have to be great and big and all of this kind of thing, but we've got to constantly move forward, right? And so we have to have that mindset that I'm seeing into the future as to what you would have to do. And it's not what I have. It's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's the Lord's plan, because it's not Church of Daryl. It's Church of God. It's God's church. He has a responsibility to take care and shoulder the responsibility of his church. Now, he gives us a little bit of authority. He gives us a little bit of training, a little bit of understanding. The Lord gives that to us, but we constantly have to be moving forward by the help and the grace of God. Do you believe that? All right, I want to read another scripture. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and I want to begin reading at the 18th verse. Matthew 4, verse 18.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren,
Simon called Peter,
and Andrew his brother,
casting a net into the sea,
for they were fishers. And he said unto them,
Follow me,
and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their net,
and followed him.
And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him.
Now, here's what I want to understand. Follow. All right? And we all say that. Follow is a verb, right? Is that what you would say in the English language is a verb? Which means it's action, right? So there's action to it, all right? So I'm following. He said, the Lord came and he said, what I want you to do is I want you to follow me. And so what did they do? They dropped everything that they did and they responded to the call. They were willing to do what God told them to do, what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to do. So they dropped everything and they started following. Now, if I stood up here and I said to you, follow me, and I don't move, can you follow me? Why? It's impossible to follow a stationary object. It's impossible. And so there has to be, Lord, what is it that you want me to do if we're asking people to follow us? And I had a situation some time ago where people were asking other people to follow them, and they were going nowhere. And so we've got to be very careful. Lord, we have to understand that, Lord, what is it? Here am I, send me, help me to do something for your kingdom. And you say, follow me. What did he say? If you follow me, I'm going to make you do what? I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you work. There is work for you to do when you follow the Lord. All right? So where are we following him? We're following him to heaven. What are we doing? He took the time that he had with his disciples. He taught them. Then he sent them out. One of the people that I feel was a mentor, I don't know that he felt that he was a mentor to me, but I felt that he was a mentor to me, was Brother P.D. Methuen. And he was one of those that I respected in a great way. When he came over to the U.S., I feel like he was a missionary to America. You know, we say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you realize that that's the same in Malayalam as it is in English? Do you realize that in Swahili it's the same as it is in English? And so sometimes we feel that we have the privilege of going places, but do you know the Lord sends people to us? And I feel like he taught me a whole lot of things. And one of the things that I remember when he'd come to Dallas and run revivals for us, and everybody was so enamored with him and what the Lord was doing with him and whatnot. And they would sit around. We lived across the street from the church, and everybody would come over after church, and they would sit around and have him tell the tales of India and what he was doing in India. And everybody said, you know what, I want to go. I'm going to go to India. And I'm sitting over in the corner saying, I'll never go to India. I have no desire to go to India. I remember saying that. The first thing is, I don't want to be on a plane for 24 hours. And I don't want to go. If anybody that knows me knows that I'm a homebody. I love, the best part of any trip is going home for me. I don't care where we're going. The most exciting places, the best part for me is going home. But one of the things that he said that he did there that really impressed me, the end of the story, the irony of that story is I've been to India at least 15 times. And I would go every year. And it was inspiring to me. I've gotten old. I think somebody else needs to take that responsibility over. But the thing that he would say that he would do, he'd get young men, and I was able to go to a lot of the congregations that he established there. He would get young men, he'd bring them in, he would teach them the basic. These are people that don't have necessarily Christian backgrounds, but people that wanted to come in wanted to get saved. And so he would bring the young men in, teach them the truth, what the Bible taught, what the Bible teaches, and a doctrine and all that. And then what he would do is he would send them out. He would send them out into various villages, and they would witness to people and establish congregations in people's homes. And then what would happen is they would come back, and whatever issues that they faced in it, then he would share that with, they would share that with each other, and he would tell them how to handle that. Now, I think that that is vital. And that's, he's been gone for 20-something years, since 1998, I believe. 1998, yes? 99, all right. 1999, I think 1998 was the first time I went there. So he's been gone for 25 years. But do you know the work is still going there? It's still there. Why? Because the Lord sent him. And so when the Lord sends us someplace, I want us to understand that the Lord is going to take care of us in the place that he sent. I can say that as a witness, that the Lord's taken care of me every place that he's ever sent me. It's his responsibility. And when things get difficult and things get hard, and they do, I have never been in a place that everything was just a bed of roses. The thorns were there as well. And I got stuck on a lot of them. And there were issues and problems and all of this. And you know what I do? You know what I do to the Lord when I'm there in Sacramento now? I say, Lord, you told me to come. You told me to come. Now, the problem that I'm having is not just my problem. It's your problem. Now, what are you going to do about it? Because you sent me. And here's the point. Because I have the authority of God, not because I'm who I am, but I have God's authority because I didn't go on my own. I was sent. And so now what I am the ambassador of the Lord to the place that the Lord puts you in. And so now what do the Lord want you to do? The Lord wants you to understand that every person in here, once you get saved, not only do you get saved, but you get sent somewhere. There is a sphere of influence that only you have. There is a pool of people that I'll never minister to, that I cannot come. They will not come to Monarch. They will not come to church. They won't have anything to do with a whole lot of people. But let me tell you, the Lord sent you in the midst of those individuals, and it's your job to make certain that those individuals know something about Jesus Christ. Not necessarily you talking to them all the time, because sometimes that's not the point. Sometimes the point is just live the life. And when you have an opportunity to say something to somebody about Jesus, let me tell you, say it. Don't be afraid. Sometimes what we need is courage to be able to do what God tells us to do. By nature, I am not a forward person. People think I am, but I'm not. I have to ask the Lord for courage to do things all the time. Scared to death, trembling in my boots, but I'm going to go for it, Lord, because you told me to go. You sent me into this place. All right? Y'all with me? All right. Let's go a little further. John 4, verse 7. John 4, verse 7.
Cometh the woman,
there cometh of, the woman
Samaria
of Samaria
to draw water.
To draw water.
Jesus saith unto
Jesus
her, give me to drink.
Give me to drink.
For the disciples were gone away into the
city, to buy meat.
Then saith the woman of Samaria,
saith the woman unto, of Samaria
him,
unto him,
How is it that thou, being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Jesus answered
and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee,
give me to drink,
thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Now I want us to set the setting here. He's by a well. There's traffic here. The disciples are gone, and he decided to sit there and wait. And I think the Lord had a clear understanding of who he was waiting for and what he was doing. I don't think it caught him by surprise. So he's sitting here, apparently just him, and this woman walks up, and he says, it's a casual conversation. It would be like I'm just sitting here, and somebody walks up to me, and I say, you mind giving me a drink of water? It'd be as simple as that. It was a casual conversation. He said, give me a glass of water. And she said, because the Samaritans and the Jews did not work with each other and wouldn't drink out of the same utensils and all this kind of thing. We're separated here. And you'll find that out as we go along. And so she's intrigued by this. Why are you, being a Jew, asking me, a woman of Samaria, to give you a drink of water? And he says, she said, y'all don't have anything to do with us. So this was intriguing to her. And this was the beginning of a conversation. So I want you to understand something. I want, as we look further into this, sometimes what leads to somebody's salvation is just a simple, casual conversation that you can have with that person. It doesn't seem like it starts anything. Just, hey, can you bring me a drink of water over here? And then she starts a conversation. All right, so this is what has happened here. All right, if y'all knew it's the gift of God and who it was that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And she says, so she's still kind of like dumbfounded. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? All right, read.
The woman saith unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to
draw
with.
You don't have anything to draw with.
And the
well is deep.
From whence then?
How are you?
Hast thou that living water?
How are you going to give me this living water?
Art thou greater?
Are you greater than our father Jacob,
which gave us the well?
Which gave us the well
and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?
Are you better than he is?
Jesus answered
and said unto her,
whosoever drinketh
of this water
shall thirst again.
But whosoever drinketh
of
the water that I shall give him
shall never thirst.
But the water that I shall give him
shall
be in him
a well
of water
springing up
into everlasting life. So the Lord is speaking to her. And let me tell you, the Lord's words. Now, we say, the scripture says very plainly that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I believe that when Jesus says something, that it means something. And I don't believe that it just means, it's just a surface thing. I believe if the Lord spoke to us. You remember when he went into the temple and opened the book and he began to read and all the eyes were just locked on him? They felt something. There was something different about the words that this man is saying here. And this woman was intrigued. First of all, the first thing is you guys don't even talk to us. And now you're talking to us. Why are you talking to us? And I feel this sense of comfort in you talking to me, but I don't understand it. And so now I'm going to go a little further. You said if you understood who you were talking to, I would give you, he's talking about living water. What are you talking about when you're talking about living water? Expound on it. Explain it to me. Because our father Jacob, you don't even have anything to draw with. Our father Jacob dug this well, and now you're saying that you can give me water more than what he can give. And so now it opens up the door to speak about something spiritual. Because she asked the question. All right, now that she asked the question, you have the opportunity to step in and say whatever it is that the Lord gives you to say to that individual. All right, That's how it works. It's simple. It's not, oh, not that you have to have a theological conversation. You just begin to speak about what God has done for you. Who Jesus is. You introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus was just introducing them to the living water. Introducing her to the living water. Expressing and explaining what it was. All right, let's go a little further here.
The woman saith unto him.
The woman saith unto him.
Sir.
Sir.
Give me this water
now,
that I thirst not.
Now, since you've intrigued me, give me this water that I thirst not.
Neither come hither to draw.
So she still doesn't have a clear understanding, does she? Not a very clear understanding of what she's supposed to do. What do you mean? I don't want to have to come here. This is a hassle me coming here, drawing. Give me of this living water. If it's available, give it to me. All right? So the Lord is getting ready to give it to her because she's asked for it. She's opened up herself to say, all right, Lord, give it to me. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to have to come here and draw. This is a difficult job that I have to do every day, and I get tired of it. So now the Lord, that's the opportunity that is being opened. The Lord is going to open up all kinds of opportunities to us, and it's our responsibility and our job to make certain that when that opportunity comes, that we seize upon it. All right, that makes sense? All right, read.
Jesus saith unto her,
Go call thy husband
and come hither.
The woman answered and said,
I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her,
Thou hast well said,
I have no husband.
For thou hast had five husbands,
and he whom thou now hast
is not thy husband.
And that saith thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir,
I perceive. Okay, so this is getting a little deep now. You have just told me something that you should not know because you don't know me. Have you ever told somebody something and the Lord inspired you? Now, again, we're being sent. We come with the authority of the Lord. The Lord often sends us in places that He Himself wants to go. And oftentimes, there are times also that the Lord's already dealt with the person that we are here to talk to. All right? And so the Lord is sending us to water or to plant a seed or to water a seed or something. And so He says, I perceive that there is something a little bit different about you, that you are a prophet. All right? Continue.
The woman saith unto him.
He said unto him.
Sir,
I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Yeah, you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship.
Jesus saith unto her.
Yes.
Woman, believe me. When ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father.
Yes.
Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh.
And now is.
When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him,
I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ.
When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am He.
Now here's the point. A good majority of the people that we meet will know a little bit of something about the Lord here in the United States. All right? A good majority of the people that we meet will know something about God. So here is this woman that has the opportunity. She's speaking and she's saying, well, I know that the Messiah is going to come and I want to know who that Messiah is and we're looking for Him and all this. And He said, well, the one that you're speaking about and the one that's speaking to you is the same one that you're looking for. All right? So sometimes I think the Lord wants us to understand that what we have, everybody wants it. Everybody. They just don't know it. Some of them just don't know it. Who Jesus was, she wanted it. But she didn't know who He was. And then when she found out who He was, let me tell you what happened. Continue to read, please.
And upon this came His disciples.
His disciples came.
And marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou?
Or why talkest thou with her? So here somebody's going to have something to say about what you're doing. No matter what you do, somebody's going to have something to say. You've got to be strong and have enough courage to say, did the Lord send me to do this? And if the Lord sent me to do it, then I am going under the authority of the Lord, not the authority of the church, not the authority of somebody else, not the authority of my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters. I am doing it under the authority of the Lord. So we've got to be very careful because other people can stump us from doing what God is telling us to do. All right, so they're looking at him and saying, why is he talking to this Samaritan woman? They have some prejudice in their mind. They have some preconceived notions in their mind as to how this is supposed to take place, how this outreach is supposed to take place. But let me tell you, the most important thing for us to understand is the Lord sending you, and it's the Lord telling you to go, and then you say, Lord, I'm willing to do it just like what you want me to do it. Maybe the Lord wants us to do it just a little bit different than what they did it in 1945. Maybe he does. I'm not saying eliminate the principles of it, but back then they didn't talk to Samaritan women, and so therefore we still shouldn't talk to Samaritan women. And why, Lord, are you diluting and polluting the purity of this gospel message? It's not supposed to go to them. But maybe the Lord is in a, maybe we're in a transition. Maybe there's a place that the Lord, let me tell you what doesn't change. The gospel never changes. The purity of the gospel never changes. The position that we stand never changes in what we do and what we believe in holiness. That's there. That's a non-negotiable. But maybe the Lord wants us to talk to Samaritan people. Maybe the Lord wants us to do. I'll tell you a story about that happened there in Sacramento. There was a older gentleman that was lived right across the street from where the church is. And he comes over one day and he's walking on a walker and he's coming over. He's like in his late 80s, 89, I believe he was. And he's coming, walking over, and he visits. We introduce. We just moved on the property. He introduces himself, and we introduce ourselves, and we strike up a friendship. So he's coming over all the time when we're doing the renovations. He's coming over just to see what we're doing. He don't have anything else to do, so he'll just scoot on over there and just stand and watch what we're doing. And he told me one day, he said, you know what? You're good for this neighborhood. He said, when the church opens, I'm going to start coming to this church. He said, you have the right kind of personality. This is somebody else. The right kind of personality for us here. And he's a white brother. He's a white man, just so you know. And so he comes over. Yeah, maybe it's a Samaritan, you reckon? But he comes over and we talk a little bit. And he comes over. And then the next thing, one day he comes over with his scooter and he's walking here, and then he goes, and I'm talking to somebody, and he just goes around me as though I'm not there, and he goes out back into the back with a tape measure, and he measures and he says, yeah, that little area that we're going to plant a garden back there, and we're going to do it on February 8th. Well, he died. But before he did, his daughter comes over. I don't know if I told you the story. If I did, forgive me, and I'll tell it again. Sometimes I feel like I tell these stories, and I don't know where I'll tell them. His daughter comes over, and she says, they've given my dad 6 months to live, and I don't know if he's at peace. Would you talk to him? And so I went over and talked to him and prayed with him. Good prayer. Made some confessions. And I believe he got saved. Died about 2 weeks later. And she comes by and she said, I want you to do his funeral. A month or so later, her mother died. And we had a joint funeral for him. She said, I want you to do the funeral. And I did the funeral. I was one of three black people in the whole place. Some of the folks from church came. But you know who still comes to church and who still is in contact with us, sits down and talks to us? The daughter and son-in-law. Comes over all the time. You know what it started with? A casual conversation. Nothing great, nothing grand, no theology. We haven't talked about theology, haven't talked about living free from sin, haven't talked about any of those things to them, but they have been in our services and they have enjoyed them. And do you know, sometimes that's all it takes. And I want to say to us, the Lord wants us to move. Yes. And I've said it to different ones, and I said to the brothers there in Dallas, and I said, you know, here's the point. You have to constantly move. And you have to, it could be an inch, but it has to be consistent, and you have to go forth. The Lord If we're following the Lord, we're not going to stay in the same place that we were this time last year, spiritually or otherwise. All right? There are things that the Lord wants from us and the Lord is expecting of us, and there are souls out there to be reached, and if we don't reach them, who's going to reach them? Well, Brother Darrell, nobody wants it. I understand that nobody wants it. Yes, they do. But it's still not my responsibility. It's my responsibility. Nobody wants it. Well, how do you know that person doesn't want it? How do you know that person doesn't want it? Maybe in, out of the billions of people that are in the world, maybe I can get 250 or 300 and I can help them. Maybe I can just help one. Maybe I can just help two or three. Maybe I can. Lord, help us. All right. All right, so let's go drop down to the 35th verse, please.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months.
Say not ye that there are 4 months.
And then cometh harvest.
Then cometh harvest.
Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the, fields, for they are white,
already to harvest.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true.
One soweth
and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor.
Other men labor.
And ye are entered into their labors.
Most of us have done that. If not every single one of us have entered into somebody else's labors. And our responsibility is to prepare that ground for somebody else to come in and enter in our labors, whatever it is that we're doing. This is the work of the Lord. This is not my work. This is not your work. It's God's work. And sometimes it's going to take us courage to be able to do what the Lord tells us to do. It's one of the most difficult things to do. It really is. But the Lord wants us to do it. And the Lord is requiring us to do it. So where do we start? It's not going to be that, oh, Brother Darrell, if I had the knowledge that you have, then I would be able to do a lot more. No, you don't have to have the knowledge I have. If I had the knowledge of you, I'd be able to do something different too. All right, so let's go a little further. Let's continue to read it down to the end of this. We're almost done.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there two days. And many more believed because of his own words. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Now, after 2 days,
he departed thence and went into Galilee.
All right, so you see a church was established or brought up simply because what? What did she do? She just went. What did she do? Well, let me tell you. Here is the doctrine of salvation, and this is what it really means to be saved. And here's the doctrine of sanctification and justification and all of these other. She didn't do that. She didn't have any idea or understanding. She said, all I did is told them what God did for me. And that's all our responsibility is, to tell people what God has done for us. And then when we do that, I don't know about a whole bunch of other stuff, but I'm on the work. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what kind of person I was. And let me tell you what kind of person I am now as a result of coming in contact with him. What did she do? She told him what he did, and then she brought him out and said, hey, look, here's the guy right here. Why don't you talk to him for yourself? And then what it is, she introduced them to Jesus. And then once she introduced them to Jesus, Jesus took over from there. And he began to talk to him, stayed there a couple of days, dealt with them about whatever questions that they had. And many of them believed, first of all, because of the woman, and then they believed because of what Jesus said himself. So may the Lord help us. Maybe there's going to be somebody that is going to reach out and appreciate this life of salvation because of what the Lord has done for you. All right. So I want to read another scripture. Let's go to Luke, the 4th chapter. So where do we start? We start in our neighborhood. We start going across the street. The scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Whose world? Your world. All right. Luke 4, verse 16.
16?
Yes.
And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was,
so where did he
went into
he
the synagogue.
He started preaching where?
Where he's brought up.
In his own little neighborhood. All right. Read.
on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Yes.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book,
he
found the place wherein it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath
anointed me
to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of
sight
to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes.
And he closed the book, and he gave it again to
the minister,
and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened
on him.
And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in
your ears.
And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded
out of his mouth. All right, so this is where he said, he started there, and he said, you know what he said? I've come to heal. And people that are in hurting places, people that are hurting, that's where we start. A lot of folks are hurting. And if we can start where they're hurting, they're vulnerable at that particular time. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to say the right words to them. And that often leads them to the Lord. May the Lord help us. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to, moving toward our conclusion here, Luke 10, verse 1. And then we'll get John 20 and 19. Luke 10 and verse 1, after these things.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also,
and sent them two
and two
before his
face
into
every city
and
place whither
he
himself
would
come.
Therefore
said
he
unto
them,
the harvest truly
is
great,
but
the
laborers
are few.
Pray ye
therefore,
the Lord
of
the
harvest,
that
he would send forth
laborers
into his
harvest.
Go your ways,
behold,
I send you forth as lambs among wolves.
Lambs among wolves. Now, you know, if a shepherd is going to send you as lambs among wolves, he's going to provide for you too. He's going to be there to protect you from them. May the Lord help us. Let's go to John 20 and 19 for closing. 20 and 19 through 21.
Then the same day,
At evening,
being the first day of the week,
when the doors were shut,
where the disciples were assembled,
for fear of the Jews,
came Jesus and
stood in the midst,
and saith unto them,
Peace be unto you.
And when he had so said,
he showed unto them his hands
and his side.
Then were the disciples glad
when they saw the Lord.
Then said Jesus unto them again,
Peace be unto you.
As my Father has sent me,
even so send I you.
And I want us to understand, and when the Lord sends, he gives us the authority that we have. They said in one place, even the devils are subject to you, subject to us in your name. That's because we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord, whatever it is, and I'm not saying that the Lord's going to send everybody overseas, because he's not. I do know that. But I do believe that the Lord will send everybody over across town, across the street, across the alley, in some way to reach out to the souls that are around you. And I'm seeing the need of that. The older I get, and the more, particularly since the Lord's moved us from one place of comfort to a place of discomfort, then I see more that we've got to be in a place that we are reaching out. We're constantly doing it by the help and the grace of God. I don't say that I have it perfect, because I know I don't. I don't say that I've done it right the whole time, but I do understand something that I didn't understand before. I understand in order for us to sustain in some places, like where we are, in order for us to sustain and not die, we're going to have to constantly reach. We're going to have to constantly be in a place where we're... And let me tell you something. I've seen this in my own experiences. When you reach out, we get comfortable in our congregations. And when we reach out and bring new people in, it makes us all uncomfortable a little bit, just a little bit. Do you feel that way? And then until they acclimate to us, or we acclimate to them or something, but we've got to be in a place that we're constantly bringing people in, because that's what the Lord, he put this whole gospel message on us, on our shoulders. In other words, if we don't go, there is nobody to go. He says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Just go. Just go. go. Don't stay there. If we want somebody to follow us, what we have to do is be willing to get up and let's go. Where are we going? I'm not quite sure now, but I'm not quite sure yet. But I think there's a field of all ready to harvest, and we're heading toward that. And that's what we're doing. And as we're heading toward that, we're heading toward heaven. We want to go to heaven too. And let me tell you what we want to do. We want to make certain that as many people as we possibly can get to go to heaven, we want them to go to heaven too. We heard a message about hell that was stirring, wasn't it? That to think that all the people that are not saved are going to end up in hell. That is horrible for us to even imagine. So what are we doing? I remember something that Sister Catherine said. You might have heard me say it before, Sister Catherine Williams. One of the things she said, you want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But she said, what have you done? The Lord is not going to say, well done, if you ain't done nothing. Lord, help us. So what are we doing? What are we doing for the Lord? Are we going, are we endeavoring by the grace of God to go into the places that are uncomfortable for us, the places that we don't want to go, the places that move us into something else? Are we going? Are we willing to go? I'm willing to go, Lord. Here am I. You can send me. You can send me to those places. And you know what I have to pray for sometimes? I have to pray for, Lord, if you give me the courage to do it. See, I'm a preacher. I've got 35 years of experience on this. But do you know I still get scared? Yes. You know, I'm still there is fear that comes on me when I'm going to do something new. But let me tell you, I never let the fear stop me. Here's what I've learned. I've learned something about fear. I've learned something. Once you go in there and you conquer it, it's not as big of a monster as it looks like it is. And so, you know what? So when I step out, and then it seems like the Lord just divides the darkness, and then this is not so bad. I'll step out again, and I'll do it. And before you know it, I'm way beyond where I used to be. And may the Lord help us. Don't be afraid. Yes, there's fear, but let me tell you what courage is. It's not the absence of fear. It is going forward in despite fear. Fear is a good thing. It's wonderful. It's something that's beneficial to us. If we were just fearless, we would be reckless and we would be stupid. But what fear does, it kind of clicks us and it kind of makes us, okay, let me look around. And when there's a heightened alertness when you're fearful. You can hear better. You can see better. You're going to protect yourself. Yes, you're going to protect yourself. But I'm not going to stay here shaking in fear because I'm afraid that somebody's going to hurt my feelings or something's going to happen that shouldn't happen. No. Who are you going with? You're going in the name of the Lord. The Lord is well able. Did he send you? Then he's going to send you in this dark cave and then he's not going to be there with you? No. How many times has he failed you? He's never failed me. I've fallen on my face. He's just got me up, dusted me off, and says, all right, keep going. Well, Lord, I can't do this. Yes, you can. Why can you do it? Because I sent you to do it, and I wouldn't have sent somebody that wasn't qualified. Now, if you get out and just start running toward doing what you want to do, you got a problem. And the Lord's not going to be with you. The children of Israel did that one. Well, the Lord told them to go, and they said, no, we don't want to go. We're not going to go. And then the prophet talked about them, and the Lord, they said, all right, we're going to go. And he said, don't go now. That opportunity is past. But may the Lord help us to understand that the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to go. He wants you to go, and he's sending you. You're an ambassador for the Lord. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do. And let me tell you, if I'm an ambassador for the United States, for the president, I'm not doing what Daryl wants to do. I'm going as a representative of the United States, as a president, and I have the authority of the presidency behind me, right? So now, if the Lord sends you wherever it is he sends you, you have the authority of the Lord behind you. We heard a message about David. What did David say? He says, you're coming to Goliath. You're coming to me with sword and spear and all this stuff, and you're all this intimidating and all this. He said, but I'm not coming to you in that. I'm coming to you under the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the name of the Lord of hosts is what he said. And what did he do? With that authority, he was able to do something that Goliath had no idea what he was going to do. You can bring down the giants of fear. You can bring down the giants of whatever it is, intimidation, all these things. And these are all things that we get when we go out and witness to people. Intimidation, fear. But let me tell you, you got five smooth stones. What he was talking about the other day, what he said, you got five smooth stones. One is for Goliath, the other is for his brothers. Whoever comes, may the Lord help us. As his father has sent him, did you say he's not taking a credit for coming on his own. He said, the Father sent me. I'm coming under the authority of the Father. Everything Jesus did, he pointed back to the Father. Everything we do points back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Father sends you, sends me, so send I you. So the Lord is sending you. So send I you. If you don't go, who's going to go in your stead? Who has the sphere of influence that you have? Nobody. May the Lord help us.